This is CliffCentral.com.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The Gasper Radio Show.
Hello everyone, good morning. It's Friday, it's very cold. It is crampy cold in Johannesburg today. It's July, so why is it not cold? It has to be, because that is the way it works. Anyway, good morning to my dear friend Hannes.
Good morning, Casper.
Ag Here, dit is goed om jou nou weer te sien na soveel weke van separasie.
Ja, dit was bitterlik lank. Dit is so lekker om hier te wees.
Oh, thanks, Hannes. Dankie, Hannes. Nice to have you here. And you know, we got a wonderful guest today. He is one of our colleagues. He is doing so well. He is crowing at the heap. On top of the heap.
Ah, oh, yes. The rooster is in the house.
Rooster. Yeah. Ndumisi Lindy. Ndumiso Lindy. There you go. I'm Afrikaans. I'm struggling with a fucking tongue. But hello.
Hello.
Oh, thank you.
What's happening?
It's nice to see you again.
Ah, nice to see you too, guys. Wow.
Thank you. We're going to talk a lekker long time about all kinds of cuck. But first I want to play this. Let me do this. And the reason is, it's the World Cup soccer. And that's their tune, their anthem, their whatever. So I thought I would invite Ben Kapinski. I haven't seen him for ages in the studio, and so we're going to talk soccer now. He will have had a lot of discussions about soccer in his show, but I haven't heard. So I want to know from the man himself. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Casper. Hello, team.
Hello, hello.
Hello, nice to see you again, Ben. And Ndumisi, are you a soccer fan?
Funny enough, I'm a highlights guy. I'm not a full-on match guy.
I know, because
every sports fan is a highlights guy.
Your uncle played rugby.
My dad played rugby.
Yes, that's right.
Well, every old black person I know played rugby.
but you do follow it a bit, hey?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so because we're going to discuss the last couple of countries now.
Okay.
And it's very strange, because it's not your usual stuff. Germany is out.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I've been following the World Cup, actually. Yeah. I've been following since it started.
So let's quickly discuss today and tomorrow. For the podcast listeners, that is Friday and Saturday, 6 and 7 July. Then we got Belgium, we got England, we got Croatia and France. And they're going to line up against Brazil, Sweden, Russia and Uruguay. So England and Sweden is tomorrow.
Casper, that is the most leading and cuckus way I've
written. Yeah, I know.
Because we've got 8 teams. Let me someone just read all of them.
Yeah, because it's for the cerebral people. You can't. I'm just going to give it to you easily. You now got to work out in your head when is this going to happen and against who? Because I don't know. Let's see. Okay, when what is happening today, Ben?
I can tell you exactly what's happening today.
Okay, please.
Okay, so France, top part of the left side of the pool, are taking on Uruguay.
Okay, let's discuss.
Okay. France, the most expensive team in the whole World Cup. Add up all their players' values, and you get the number one team, France.
Have they got that 19-year-old who's now like going to be
Kylian
a star?
Kylian Mbappe.
No, don't talk about Kylian Zimbabwe. I'm sorry. Is he? He's like the
Yeah, he's like they've got some superstars. Like I was saying this morning on the sport, their team is so good that they can have spare parts like Olivier Giroud in the front purely for hairstyle. Just hairstyle. They're not going to pass the ball to him, but they'll go to slow-mo and he'll be like...
Like a shampoo ad.
France have got a good team. They should have won the Euros in 2016, but then they fluffed it against the Portuguese.
Bastards.
So I would back them because Cavani is basically Suarez's girlfriend up front for the Uruguay team. And he's got a bit of a sore leg at the moment.
Suarez is the horse that bites.
He's the horse that bites.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the Hannibal Lecter. And him and his strike partner, well, the strike partner doesn't look to be going so well. So he might be injured. If he's out, Uruguay, no chance.
Okay. His partner, I know, it looks like an experiment, Frankenstein experiment. Yep. Hey.
So I'm guessing go with France there. They've got a lot of flair. They've got a lot of talent.
And Dumiso, what do you think?
I'll go with France. I'll go. As much as we hate Suarez, that guy is good.
Yeah, if he's just in a good mood.
Yeah.
If he's on his feet. That guy's on the ground more than the EFC fighter.
But I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to play in this
game. Okay, 10 points.
10 points there for soccer humor. Okay, so you also France on us?
Well, logic would say France by the mood in the room.
Okay.
I haven't been watching a lot of the World Cup, but that's because I've got a 3-year-old. So I can tell you the third season of Sophia the First is great.
Let her watch the soccer.
France started slow, hey?
They do. They're quite a boring team. They're the only team that had a 0-0 draw in this tournament. But that's because they had like their second stringers out and they weren't that keen.
And so do you memorize this information? How do you know this?
I don't, Casper, but the one thing I do is sports. So you can tell me about, I don't know, the weather, train travel.
Hamlet.
I'll listen, but I'll probably forget it. You tell me about sport, it's in my head.
That's amazing, Ben. So you're like an idiot savant.
I'm just a sports guy.
Okay.
I'm nothing more, nothing less. I'm just a sports guy.
And he knows everything.
Don't have to use words like idiot or French words.
What is the second team? Who are playing secondly?
Okay, secondly, this is the big one. It's Belgium versus Brazil.
Oh my God! Oh my!
8 o'clock left in time. This is a biggie.
Jesus, because I am, a little bit Belgium because my blood is Dutch, but from my mother's side. So, and Dutch, they aren't even there this year.
No.
So maybe I am for Belgium.
Mm. Well, you can be for Belgium, but if you look at how they go through the tournament, they had two very easy games. Then they played the English B team, just beat them with their B team. Then they almost lost to Japan. They had a really good one. They had one good half, basically. Mm. And look, do you want to wave at my Instagram live?
You've got an Instagram live going, but you're showing fucking black holes.
I'm showing my face.
Oh, is that what it is?
Look, Belgium again, they've got a hugely star-studded team. They've got Lukaku up front, who's amazing. They've got Eden Hazard. They've got a great goalkeeper. They've got De Bruyne, who's the best ginger player in the whole world.
De Bruyne, I've seen him. He looks like Tintin.
Who's the striker again?
Lukaku. Romelu Lukaku.
He had a bad game against Japan.
He was a bit sluggish, yeah?
Yeah.
But then Brazil, everyone says, they got Neymar, the great strike force, the Samba, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Their defense is actually probably their strongest attribute. Mm. So no one remembers that.
Mm.
So you try to score goals against Brazil. Try find me goals against Brazil 2018 Russia World Cup. You're not going to find many. I think Switzerland scored one.
But I suppose any team playing against Brazil in a playoff scenario is kind of psychologically also at a deficit because it's the great Brazil. Mm. From the outset,
obviously you think Brazil, you think Pele, you think, ejaculation problems like you had in the 70s. So, I just want to say
you think Pele, you think 89. Yeah. I mean, really.
Erectile dysfunctions.
But they got a reputation to uphold, poor Brazil. But still, I'm going to go for Belgium. Ndumiso, what do you think?
I'm going Brazil.
Brazil?
I mean, any team that steps in the field with Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, they're champions.
Like, it feels like they want to take a selfie.
Guys, they're not champions. The last time they won was 2002.
Yeah.
2002 was the last time.
They've got a long reputation, you know?
Most of the team's actually quite inexperienced. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Please.
To try and back up your Belgium.
Thank you very much.
But they haven't got the most experienced team. All I'm saying is that they've got a structured defense. And if Neymar...
You haven't got your face in there.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, it's Instagram things. Yeah. All I'm saying is that it's going to be a very tight game because Belgium have had many chances to prove themselves now. Mm. But I'm still going to back Brazil because of the defense.
Oh, I thought you... okay. And you, Hannes?
I guess also logic once again dictates Brazil. But, okay, but on an emotional level, perhaps also... Belgium, just because I'd be able to understand their team talk.
Hannes, you're like the Nas Boots of this panel. Well,
on the other hand,
I've thought about it, and I'm going to go with what he said.
Yeah,
I miss when Brazil had those names. You know those players.
Kaká.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Kaká.
Zinho.
Yeah.
You know when the ball is just moving, just one tap.
But who's the one they got? Who's the one they got? It's a Neymar. Who's they got all these social jokes with now? If he's touching him,
he's falling around, rolling
everywhere. Yes, he's falling. Okay, but now, it's tomorrow at 4 England.
Tomorrow. Okay, England is at 4
tomorrow.
Tomorrow against Sweden.
So I was correct. Yeah, tomorrow at 4 England. Is it true? The thing, the rumor, we can do it once again. 1966 all over again. Yes or no?
No, they haven't got a good enough side.
Oh.
But they got an easy draw to get there.
I like the Hurricane. Mm.
They got an easy draw to get there. They've got Sweden. Now, Sweden, as we know, mostly great at making cars and music.
Yes.
Football, I think they finished
now
third.
Now and then,
the best
they were last in the USA. They were remember that penalty thing where they had that little wall? It was like a major, I promise you, it was like a major trick they pulled, and they scored a goal with that penalty kick.
Kasper, that's a lovely story. I've got no bearing on what we're talking about.
Bring it.
It's a liquor story, though.
You know what, Ben? I've got it on VHS, and I will bring it. It was the last time I saw them. But Sweden, yeah, I love Sweden. But England, I feel for England.
Mm. I think England will win this match because they got more firepower than the Swedish team. So the Swedish team have been quite defensive. They were pretty lucky against Switzerland.
They were, yeah.
They got there's an own goal there. Go with England because they're on a good thing right now. It's the first time ever they won on penalties. Normally they choke the cuck out of
it. In five matches where they were in penalties, only the second time in seven games or something that they managed to win
seven
penalties.
Seven centuries, honest.
Yeah.
These guys go full Proteas when it comes to knockout stages. And
I was then. I was so tense. Jeez, I was tense the other night because I knew about the curse. Good God. But luckily they did it. I was very happy.
I'm definitely England. I've actually got a real opinion on this.
Lucky Nas, yeah.
I'm very
Lucky
Nas.
Lucky Nas.
Did he sing?
I'm England. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know both teams, actually. I don't know who to choose.
Well, you got red on, so let's do England.
Are you sure? I'm not an England fan.
Really? But the thing is, they feel like soccer belongs to them.
Yeah
they feel like everything belongs to them.
Yeah, shame. And then they never win the fucking World Cup, except once.
Yeah.
When they poisoned the other team.
They hosted it in 66.
Food poisoning. And then, now I'm talking.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
You're thinking Springboks 1995.
That's right. Yeah. All Blacks. Okay, and then we got Croatia against Russia, but Russia is the host.
It is, but look, put it this way. If Russia wins this match, okay, there's definitely some skullduggery, tomfoolery, hocus-pocus.
Mercury poisoning?
That team's cuck.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I don't mean to be the guy who's going to be so blatant about this, but that team's not exactly great. Look, go through that team sheet. All the Russians reckon, we'll get a couple of games, they'll be out in the group stages. And now it could be in the semis. I expand didn't want to beat them. They were just kicking the ball around like kids in the park, kicking to each other.
I can honestly imagine that halftime in the Russian dressing room, it's kind of someone saying, "You know, Siberia weathered nice this time of year." and then probably since they are playing in Russia in the Spanish dressing room, there was also someone going, "You know, Siberia weathered nice this time of year."
Do the right thing, yeah. Sure. So, look. Croatia got a mesmerizing midfield. They've got Luka Modric. They've got Mandzukic. They've got Digadic. And you know, it's a team that I don't think is going to be troubled by Russia. Russia are going to be defensive, and they're going to be dogged, and they're going to probably be very insulting verbally. Mm. But soccer-wise, no.
You see...
I reckon Croatia.
Can I just say, as a gay, the only gay person in this room, Croatia's got very good-looking players. So I would like them to go through.
Yeah. And Game of Thrones gets shot in Croatia.
Oh, my God. So, Indomitso, who do you think is going to win?
I want Croatia to win.
please.
Yeah, I think Russia has had it easy with some of the games. Even the teams they were playing against. Come on, man. They started off with Saudi Arabia. Come on.
Lackluster Egypt.
God, that's funny.
And then they got beaten by Uruguay 2-0. First game they actually had any sort of competition.
Look at him. He knows everything.
Everything, yeah.
I know a lot, guys. I don't know everything.
Ben, it was such a delight to see you again.
Casper, likewise.
Thanks, man.
Likewise. I'm going to go now because it is so cold. I'm going to go back to bed or find a heater.
Yeah. Find a heater.
Basically adopted a stray band of dogs and just... that's my Friday.
Well, I will think of you during the soccer and I will send you WhatsApps. And Croatia for yo a fucking wiki. That's a joke that I just sort of made up.
Yeah. Woo! Shitty beats amazing. 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 Yes.
So that's our special guest later, Pierre van Pletzen, listen to me. Peach van Pletzen. The Pierre van Pletzen link we will discuss.
Yes.
It's Peach van Pletzen and his band van Pletzen. But he's also got other bands.
Yeah, he's in Bitter Einder.
As well, hey.
Yeah, and he had a solo outfit for lang gehad genaamd Yesterday's Pupil, wat ook baie, baie lekker was.
Okay, we'll discuss all that.
Yeah.
But now we've got today's hero here with us, Ndumiso Lindi. Yay! Rooster. And you, I think, must be knighted today because you've been a FOTS, a friend of the show, of the Casper Radio Show. That means that you're going to be Sir.
Sir Rooster.
Sir Rooster. You're going to be Sir Rooster when you walk out here today. I like that so much.
Oh, nice. Sir Rooster of the Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape.
Cape Lands of
the... Rise. So, I've seen you a couple of months or weeks ago. I can't remember where. It was at some function, and you told me you were all over Africa performing. I know we are here discussing your show with Tumi Morake, who you did recognize, at the beginning of the show. She's the lady saying, if you don't like the show, please fuck off.
Oh, I know that voice.
Yeah. I recorded that. I think you were with me in that show years and years ago. We did, what's the John Flissmas show we did? The Madness, whatever. You were with me there, man. And we were like, it's a whole...
Oh, when we had portfolios.
Yes, that one. And then Tumi was there as well, and I took her to a hotel room in PE. It sounds like it's going to get very corny here, but it didn't. Hashtag me too. And I asked her to record that, and I used that years later for this show. But, okay, so you're married, but not to each other, is touring, and tonight you are at Silver Star.
Yes, yes. Tonight I'm at Silver Star with Tumi. Yeah, man, we've been
touring a long time now.
Last week we were in PE.
Okay, yeah, well there you go, PE.
People braved the cold and came, and we sold out. That was awesome.
Nice,
fantastic.
Yeah,
I want to ask you more about the show later. I just first want to know, how does it work when you perform in other countries?
Okay.
Do they? How's the humor? I don't know. Do they have a sense of humor?
They do. It's just that their comedy is still, I'd say, preschool stages.
Really?
You know? And
they're actual artists there.
Yeah. You know, so their way of delivery, their jokes is all, it's still like those storytelling old ways.
Yeah.
Two guys are walking. And this guy, and then they listen right up to the end and then they laugh. And then you get a guy like me who comes on. And I'm just fitting punchlines everywhere.
Yeah. And you've got a very effortless style as well. You know? So their brains must kind of...
Another thing is, you go to a place like Nigeria, they don't speak good English there. They speak what you call Pidgin English.
Pidgin English.
Yeah. It's English, but you still don't understand what they're saying. It's like jumbled up English. Mm. It's like what... chakalaka English. It's all mixed up. And so then they see this black guy who comes on, jumps on, and it's just... good English, they go quiet. So at some point I'm thinking, am I dying here? And then I realized they are listening. You know, so hit the punchline, they go off, and then they go quiet again.
Okay.
You hit another punch and they go.
Okay, so you punch and then you wait.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And also you have to articulate, you know, you have to, yeah. You know, because of the accent and, you know.
Two guys are walking.
I am very happy to be here in Nigeria.
That's nice because then your show is fucking long immediately.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about time.
An hour.
The place I enjoyed though was Kenya. Kenya, they move with you. That was cool.
Oh, good. That's very interesting. I think you should do a documentary about it.
I should, actually. Just get a camera and just follow
me. Yeah, follow me.
When you say the industry is kind of like preschool, is it an audience culture that's still behind, or is it the quality of the comedians, or is it both affecting each other?
Both, because the comics educate the audience.
Yes.
You know, like South Africans, the South African audience have come to realize they know what to expect from South African comics.
Yes.
So if you come on and you do jokes about the ETV guy tonight, only, and they're like, that's 5 years ago. You know, they're like, no, we want you.
Okay, I'm gonna have to take that joke.
Write that down quickly.
You know, so that's South Africa, but there, they still like, okay, what am I supposed to laugh at?
Yeah,
you know, they still a bit also very conservative. Don't swear. We hook up F word. They're like, wow, what just hit us?
Yeah, really?
Yeah. They shake. Oh, is he supposed to say that?
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And also sexual jokes. Oh, they tighten up.
Now.
He went there.
He went there. I only went to chicken base.
Yeah.
What the hell? I just wanted to ask you something, Demisa. About Nigeria. Now I forgot. You go on, Hannes, and I'll get my memory back.
No pressure. Well, no, it's interesting, but maybe it is. It's also an international, like white Afrikaans people just after apartheid, and you had someone like Casper come out there and say things that kind of shocked them. I'm sure Casper can confirm it may have taken a little bit of time before they adapted to that and were willing to. They still haven't adapted to that. So they almost want you to go to the absolute extreme or clean as a whistle, you know.
I just remembered what I wanted to say, and that was looking back at South Africa. Now you talk about Nigeria and Kenya and all those places where we go as South Africans, but don't you think, guys, I just think we here are incredible with our comedy.
Very. Huh? Yeah. Big time.
And I realize, talent. It's not just the one. Then it's this guy. Then it's this guy. Then it's this guy. And every time I'm in stitches on the floor and I think, why are we so funny?
Oh, man.
Huh?
First of all, I think you don't get what we have here anywhere else in the world. The whole diversity that we have here. You know, so you get in a room and it's a mix of white people, black people, colored people, Indian people, and then the extras, whether it's from other African countries or China, or, you know what I mean. So it's as if we have a very difficult room to practice in.
You know
what I mean. So if everyone likes you, if you go outside the border, you are fine.
Yeah.
You know, because I realized that when I went to New York and I was playing the clubs, and I felt so at ease. Like, I wasn't scared. I was performing. I was just, you know, it's a matter of just making people understand the references.
Yes.
You know, if you're gonna talk about home or talk about them or
just explain the background.
Yeah. And you see the comics there. They look at you like, wow, this guy. Who's this guy? You know. I played a room in Harlem one time, and after the show, those guys were all over me.
Fantastic.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Yeah.
You sound like Chris Rock. You sound like Dave Chappelle.
Wow, dude, that's
your standard. Whatever, you know what I mean? And also that side is, you find, like, let's say out of 10 comics, 9 all sound the same. They all just get on and talk about the same thing. And then here comes this guy. It's just someone just changed the channel.
I think that's appealing to international audiences, because South Africans, because of the diversity, because of the history, are forced to now that we can, we all speak very honestly.
That's true.
And comedy relies on absolute honesty. Yeah. So I think if someone from another place sees the honesty with which local comics deliver their stuff, I mean, it must be like, whoa, that's real. You know?
Yeah. Because sometimes you rip that plaster, that Leicester, what's a plaster in English?
A plaster.
Yeah, you rip it off. It's sore.
A Band-Aid.
Band-Aid. You rip it off. People go, but then we laugh.
Yeah.
And that is that is what we do.
Yeah.
Mm. I've seen it countless times here in South Africa. They go there and politically as well, and like this land grab thing. Mpo did something the other night. It was amazingly funny. Fuck, it was funny. I just thought this is so amazing. And we can all laugh at it now, but we talk about it. It's not as if it's shh.
Yeah.
You know, it all makes sense. Yeah, no, I'm very proud of what we're doing. Very proud. And so, what are you doing now with this married thing? How did this happen?
And that's the crazy part about this show is what you just said. Now, usually as comics, we tackle all the country issues, whether it's race or land or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, with this show, it's just pretty much just relationships, men, women,
that's
relationships,
good.
Whether married, single, dating, you know. And how it came about is, I mean, I've known Dumi for a while now, we're friends, and we were booked to perform in London for, what's this guy, the promoter? Eddie Kaza. So he booked us to go perform in London, and then we were flying back and via Istanbul. So we get there and our flight has left us. So now we're busy trying to fix that up. I take our passports, I give it to the customs guy, and the first question he asks us, like, are you guys married? And I answered just quickly, I'm like, yes. And I realized a second later, I'm like, not to each other, no. But he gave us that naughty look, like,
what are you doing?
You know, but we laughed about it, and then both of us were like, that's a good title for a show. I'm like, yeah. And then we just left it there. That was 3 years ago. But every time we saw each other, like, we need to do that show. Every time. Until the beginning of this year, we're like, man, this is the year. Let's just do it. She's like, yeah, I'm game. And that's how it came about.
It's perfect and it's unique. Yeah.
And what's the format? Because I've seen like clips and stuff where you're on stage together, but then do you do separate sets as well? Or are you on stage together the whole time?
No. We start off together, get on stage, welcome everyone, a bit of improvisation with the audience, play around with them, how many couples do we have, how long have you guys been married, all this kind of stuff. And then it's individual sets. And then Dumi takes over, I take over after her. We do like close to, 35 minutes? Yeah. And then again, at the end, we're back again.
That sounds like a great night.
This is the best part of the show, the Q&A. When audiences ask us about relationship problems.
Oh,
man, the things we hear, you guys don't understand.
Really?
To realize everyone have the same problems. They all face the same problem. I don't care who you are, whether you're black, white.
I was thinking, because I saw on Instagram earlier this week a photo of your wife and Mpo, and I'm going, that's a show we also would like to see, you know, from the other side.
You know, questions like, this guy, MPE. This guy says, I'm supposed to be here with my wife. Where is she? Oh, no, she's angry at me. She's still at home. I left her at home.
Oh, my God.
Okay. What happened? Came home this morning, drunk. hanging out with the boys. What time did you walk in the house? Well, the sun was coming out. I'm not sure.
He tells you that.
Yeah.
You're like a psychologist.
You know?
Therapist.
So we bought those days laughing. Everyone's just listening. And it's like, so I had already bought these tickets and she didn't want to come with me. So I said to him, okay, my man, hold on. So you wake up, you've got babalas and all. You wake up this morning, later today. I don't know what time you woke up. And then did you apologize? No. Okay. What? Two, you probably said, because you know she's not talking to you, you're not talking to her, because you don't understand anything. So you were like, are we still going to the comedy? And she said, no, yes. And then what did you do? Well, I'm not going to waste these tickets, I'm going. I'm like, guy, you could have sacrificed this show.
For your marriage.
Yeah, you know. Then I said to him, that no you got from your wife, it's not a no.
Yeah.
It's a own up for the shit you did last night.
Yes.
First of all. Two, beg me, you know, make me feel like I'm a queen again. and then maybe I will go with you.
Yeah. And then if he managed to get her to agree to come with, it would have been a wonderful.
Exactly.
Because now it's about relationships. Oh, yeah. Look how we solved our problem. You know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get a lot of those kind of questions. The other girl had like really good problems actually. She was like, so I'm dating this guy. He doesn't tick all the boxes. He just ticks one box. I'm like, which box is that?
The big box.
It's like every time I want to leave him, he gets it right with that box.
It sounds like a fantastic show. I mean, you must be looking forward to it each
night.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah.
Oh, man. But you are married. Excuse my incompetence. I don't know.
Yes, I am married.
Do you talk about your experience, how you wooed your wife and all that in your show?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk a lot about ourselves. Especially, Tumi also does the same. And it's a mix of self-experience and other stuff we've heard out there.
Yeah.
You know, comics, we just take information and try to make it personal, you know, as much as possible. My wife doesn't mind. She's seen the show. And she's the one who's like, oh, you forgot to tell them about it.
Oh, that's good. I think it's great to have a show where also because it's from a male and a female perspective. Yeah. Because a lot of times guy comics do sometimes go, geez, my wife just doesn't respect me, you know, and it becomes that my wife. But now you've got a woman with you on stage, so you kind of have to, you know, be truthful and honest. That's you true. Can't just diss, you know. That's kind of a nice dynamic, you know.
Yeah, Jimmy was saying the other night, this show feels like what a combination of vaginal monologue and dick monologue.
yeah. Was there ever a show called The Penis Monologues?
I don't think so.
It would be interesting.
The dick dialogues.
The dick dialogues. Yeah, I love it. And does Tumi ever speak on stage about Jacaranda?
No, she doesn't.
Because that's a relationship.
It's a relationship. I don't know how
that's also a relationship that went south.
I don't know how she would fit that in. But yeah.
Well, someone was fucked there. I love her.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Have you? You haven't done the stuff poopy with us, Ndumiso. I'm going to ask you that now.
Okay, no.
That is that as a child, and you think back about what influenced you long, long ago, what is like the first TV show, the first movie, the first song that you remember as being something that stuck to you, stuck with you?
Okay. Well, since I was young.
The first one. Well, yeah. If you think back, that made the impression.
Yeah, the VHS ages.
Yes, that one. I mean, who planted the seed of comedy in you? Who did you see? American comedians, or was it South African comedians? Because in the time when you were young, our comedy wasn't that great yet.
No, it wasn't. When it came to comedy with black people, it was the actors who kind of introduced that to us, like the Joe Mafelas, Ray Ndlokwana, those guys were funny. I don't enjoy South African sitcoms now compared to what we used to watch when we were young. It felt like, especially during those times, you know, with the police and the riots happening outside, it was a contrast of the burning tires outside, you step in the house, there's laughter. It's like this comfort, you know. It was awesome. So even when I started comedy, I didn't know what stand-up comedy was. I remember watching my dad waking me up to watch Barry Hilton. They were playing his shows on TV. Those Banyard shows. And I remember asking, because to me, people who were funny were MCs, masters of ceremonies. know, my dad was like a well-known master of ceremony, so, and he used to test his icebreakers with us, you know, a lot. And he had those books, you know, books back in the days, 100 and something in one icebreakers. And he used to memorize them.
That's great. That's like going to university almost, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he had those old, old jokes, the Fandermeva jokes and the... Because he played rugby a lot, so he was surrounded by those guys. So he had a bank of all those jokes. Like you can, like if you can ask me now to like tell me a joke, I wouldn't be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But my dad is like, Mr. Lindy, can you please tell us a joke? There was right there, like,
there two guys walking.
Exactly, and I feel like your guy's time, you are there, you know. You're a mix of that and now. Like, you look at Barry Hilton. Barry Hilton, you can ask him, tell me a joke, and he's going to throw you a joke.
Mm.
Like, seriously. Mm. But with us young guys, I feel like it's more like stories and
observations.
And observations, and we can do that. So, for me, so I remember watching.
So, you watch Barry Hilton, you ask your father, is this supposed to be funny, Papa? No. And he said, yeah, that's comedy. And you said, oh, fuck, I can do better. No joke.
No. No, because as I was watching him, the only thing that was in my mind was, when is this MC going to introduce another speaker?
Yeah.
He's been going on, this guy's been talking. Yeah. He's been talking, you know. And I would go to school and you know, I was in Channel 7, then Channel 7, Channel 8, just tell guys, oh, I watched this guy, this MC last night. Mm. He was telling these jokes, you know. It's like, oh, tell us one of the jokes. I remember one joke. I even told Barry Hilton this joke. Mm. It has stuck with me. When he says, back in the apartheid era, they used to follow Desmond Tutu because he had they used to follow and check his moves because he had the same routine every morning. Every morning he wakes up, leaves the house, goes to the nearest telephone booth, and stays there for like a few seconds and starts his day every time. So they decided to tap that phone. He woke up, did the same thing, recorded it, and then they played it back. And it went to the phone, and he was like, "Phone, phone on the wall, who's the greatest bishop of them all?" And the phone went toot toot. Man, that joke, man.
Yeah,
that joke. I think that joke
it'll never age.
Changed,
you know,
my
I mean?
Life. Like it stayed with me. Mm. Like if I'm creating my own content, it just revolves around
that
the
one.
Simplicity of that joke.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Perfect setup.
I love it. Song-wise or movie-wise?
Oh, movie-wise. Man, movie. We used to hire a lot of movies. I'd say I was a Bruce Lee guy.
Really?
Enter the Dragon.
Really?
I remember Enter the Dragon. Yeah,
wow. That final fight with the mirrors and
the mirrors
stuff.
And stuff. Yeah, yeah. Classic. Even with a tall black dude, you were with the long legs.
Yeah,
yeah, that was my scene.
That was on video.
That was on video. Yeah,
video stores, not DVDs
VHS.
Yet. Eh?
VHS.
Yeah, yeah. That's also my era. VHS.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I'm older than you, but we used to go. What was it called? Mr. Blockbuster. What?
Oh, you had Mr.
Video.
Video.
Video. Mr. Blockbuster.
We had a Video Den.
Mm. Video Den.
Yeah. We had it like at our local shop. There was a Video Den, a Bimbo's takeaway, and then 20 Cent Games. Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Mm.
Let me see if I can find a Bruce Lee fucking song. Because.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
But if I type in Bruce Lee, wouldn't it give me Into the Dragon or something? Huh?
It should.
Let's see. Bruce Lee, The Fighter. Original motion picture soundtrack. Let's listen to Bruce Lee. What the fuck?
Woo! Whoa.
I don't want to know.
Sitting here. Baby, sounds like a hip-hop song.
It does a bit.
Like a DMX song.
What? What? Give a dog a bone. He finds his way home. Tip at the cup of the summer and summer the pump at the pump.
That's a nice bit. Oh, my word.
Ale, Bruce Lee.
Hey,
Hey. God, where are we now? Hey. We've crossed the rest of the... We're on the subcontinent.
And they're still kicking ass, right?
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh, it's a Bruce Lee. Wow. It's called Bruce Lee, I swear. Wow. And then she says a Bruce Lee.
Yeah. This makes me miss Mandoza, actually.
They made a Bollywood movie about Bruce Lee.
Oh, wow. This makes me miss Mandoza big time.
Hey! I love that DMX. Well,
this is for the butter.
It's called Bruce Lee the Fighter. It's a movie.
Oh, wow.
So it was released in 2015.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they do like Bollywood dancing karate-wise. That would be stunning.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, look, especially dancing. Those masses. And
yeah.
They, yeah.
Oh, it's hiding behind the tree. Woo! All of a sudden, my shoulder is twitching. Oh, wow.
I also used to really love martial arts movies as a kid because it was also because no one could fight like him, but yeah. Everybody tried to. So it's exactly. Something you could do at school. It's, you know what I mean? Everybody wanted to be as good as Bruce Lee.
You know what we used to do? Yeah. Because in the townships, not everyone had the VHS machine. So if you hired a movie, you'd have around about 30 kids in your lounge.
Yeah.
Just watching this movie. And then after, we all go outside
Side.
And start kicking each other. Just doing all those moves.
Yeah.
And then everyone is like, no, I'm Bruce Lee. No, I'm Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's Enter the Dragon itself.
Woo! The original motion picture.
Yeah. Woo!
You have dishonored my family.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can actually see him walking in.
He walks
in the island. You know?
Woo!
And because of that time, yeah, it's got a bit of a porno kind of a shaft kind of.
I remember this!
You see, it's bringing back.
I remember this, man.
Isn't it wonderful when memories flood back? That sound, it's so 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Wow, wow.
Hot? 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 Hot?
Can any of you remember? I can't know. How did he die? Did he die tragically? Or
He died of heart failure, supposedly after a workout regiment. He collapsed.
Didn't have a headache or something?
Yeah. He had a headache, so he took some aspirins and stuff, and then proceeded with his day. He collapsed. You know, so there's always been a little bit of. Kind of mystique around his death because it was quite sudden. I mean, he was superbly fit.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people arguing that perhaps he was a little because he was so fit. He hadn't eaten properly, so he was actually, in spite of being one of the healthiest people on earth, malnourished himself not eating sufficiently and that kind of thing. And
the body caved in.
The body caved in. But ironically enough.
But then, is it his...
It's a blood clot or something.
His cousin or his nephew or whatever in The Crow?
His son.
That's his son.
His son, Brandon.
Brandon Lee.
Son.
Yeah.
And he died because of a bullet.
Shooting The Crow 2.
Mm. Right? It was actually the original Crow, the first Crow.
Was it?
But they had already completed the majority of filming and they were just doing a last few stunt scenes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. I remember seeing.
That was a pivotal film for me in my high school days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was dark and the soundtrack was quite metal, and I was angsty and bullied and shit.
So in those days, those dark days, did you? What movies did you watch then? Only this Karate Kid?
No. This movie. It's funny enough. It was all the fighting movies. This movie and Rocky. All the Rockies.
Ah.
All the Rockies.
Adrian! Adrian!
You go. And that was sort of the first time we binged watched. Eh? It's when we took out Rocky 1, 2, and 3.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, fool. Hey, fool.
Yeah.
That's Rocky 3. It's the T.
Yeah.
Hey, fool. Yeah.
Hey, fool.
Oh, my God. I remember those days. Where is, let's see. Yes, Rocky 2. I remember this record. Ba, ba, ba. What's that thing?
No, the big song from Rocky 2 is, of course, Eye of the Tiger. Tiger.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, my God.
I actually saw a bunch of the Rockies again now recently.
Oh, yeah?
It was like on DSTV on one of those pop-up channels.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Bruh.
Because that guy gets fucked up hard, but he gets back up every time.
I see the steps.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. This is during the fight. This is after they beat him up, and then now he's recovering.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Creed.
Creed.
Did you see Creed?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Was that the one with Michael B. Jordan?
Jordan, yeah.
I want to see.
Is it year? Later this year.
Oh, good. I loved it.
Because then that's about Apollo's
son. Yeah.
Because
I mean
the Rockies started to get cuck, and then all of a sudden it turned and it started to get good again.
That's true.
Remember, eh?
Yeah, Rocky 5 was horrible.
Yeah, that was like, please.
Yeah. When he had that street fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Creed was amazing.
Creed.
Yeah, now he's fighting chickens, corpses. He's getting ready again.
Yeah.
Yes. Isn't it? That was my favorite sequence in any kind of fighting or martial arts movie, is the training.
The training,
in Bloodsport and Kickboxer. And then at the first, he breaks his leg or his hand or whatever. And then the end is just like doing it. Not even thinking anymore. And all those, I love, that's my favorite sequence in any movie like that.
And there's that special move.
You see him perfect.
You have to perfect this move. Yeah, it's going to come in very handy.
It's like Jean-Claude Van Damme, the roundhouse.
Yeah, and then the Karate Kid.
Which you're going, didn't you perfect it in the previous movie?
Yeah, exactly. Now we, Rocky 7. Okay, now I'm going to perfect it. Did you say that's a Jean-Claude Van Damme series? I think it's on Amazon or Netflix, can't remember. Where he plays himself.
But he plays himself as some kind of like spy kind of.
It's
I've heard of
seen
it.
I've heard about it.
Yeah. You won't equate him with comedy.
Oh, wow.
But it's quite funny. I won't say that Jean-Claude Van Damme is a comedian. But it's supposed to be funny. It's actually, I think the way it's edited and directed, it actually works.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll check it out.
Yeah, you can check it out. I don't know if it's going to be renewed.
He's the king of splits, that guy.
Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Who's that other guy with the white hair? He was Flash.
Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren.
Wasn't he in Rocky as well?
Yes.
They all went
Rocky.
Heroic.
He dies.
He was the Russian.
I forgot his name now.
And did Apollo beat Rocky?
No. Oh, no.
Never.
No. What happened is they both fell. They both fell, and then Rocky stood up first. Did Rocky lose in part one?
I think in part one.
I can't remember anymore.
It was in part one. It was like a tie, but because Apollo was the champion, he didn't lose his title or something like that.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, Rocky won. He got up first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Part three, Apollo dies. No. Part four, Apollo dies.
Yeah. At the hands of Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, part three, it was Mr. T.
Mr. T? And they were, when was the American, Dolph? Five?
Yeah. No.
Four.
Dolph was four.
Jesus Christ.
And then five is that kid he takes and then he trains him. And then the kid starts winning and then he turns against him.
That's where the street fight comes
in.
It will never, ever be forgotten that. It is like in time, in our time, lifetime. Amazing.
It's amazing that during those times, everyone had their own movie. Like their action guy.
Yeah.
Van Damme, Sylvester, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who was Charles Bronson?
Just as he just had an expression, Charles Bronson.
He did.
The eyes. That's all. I saw a movie the other day, Once Upon a Time in the West. Word. That's all he did. He had the lips with collagen, and then the eyes, that squinting, and that is Charles Bronson. I mean, Clint Eastwood sometimes opened his fucking eyes. But I mean, look at those Death Wish posters. It's all those squinty eyes.
That's true.
It's because he's sad. He lost his wife.
We loved her. She wasn't Shane. Do you know that?
No.
You mean in Death Wish, the story?
No,
true.
Oh, wow. One movie that sticks with me in the 90s, if it's the 90s, it's Men of Honor. That's when movies started getting all serious. And,
Was that Tom Cruise and Jack?
No. It was... how can I forget his name?
When you said Tom Cruise, I was thinking of A Few Good Men.
Ah.
But it was that same era, and it's like kind of... Yeah.
Man of Honor.
Honor, just have a look. What's that? I remember A Few Good Men. That was where Nick... There's like a line that Jack Nicholson...
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah. You can't handle the truth.
So Man of Honor is Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robert De Niro.
Ah.
Yeah.
Was it about the diver or something?
Yes. I watched that movie with my dad. Oh, he loved that movie. He stayed with me, actually. There's those initials that his father, Cuba Gooding's father, he carves them on his radio, homemade radio. He says A-S-N-F. And then you wonder what are these initials, and that's when Robert De Niro grabbed that radio and he smashes it, and he looked at that radio and he was like all messed up, you know. But there comes a time, and then he puts the radio together as a present to him, and he gives it to him, and then he asks him, like, do you know what those initials mean? Oh no, he says, what did your father say to you? What do you mean? What did your father say to you? Do you know what these initials mean? It means a son never forgets.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love that, man. Yeah, especially watching with your dad.
Perfect.
That was awesome. Because he never gave up. He tried everything. He just never gave up. Because when he gets in that bus to go to the army, his dad says to him, never come back here again. Never, just go. Because they were field people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very poor. They used to work in the fields. Just never come back here again. Just go.
And let's go to a song.
Yes. A song back then.
A song that I can play you that will make you feel nostalgic.
Oh, wow.
Anything.
I want to go with... I've been watching you every day.
Sipo.
Sipo Hostix Mabuse. My life.
I've been watching you. That's the song's name, right?
Yeah.
It's a... you're going
to... Sipo Hostix.
You're going to love it.
Who made the Hostix mistake the other day?
Mark Fish. That was the old Mark Fish thing. That's how that started.
I forgot about that.
What is the song's name?
I've been watching you.
No.
Okay.
You've been out all night long.
Can I play you songs and you just tell me? Because I've got Sipo here, but I don't know that song.
That's it.
So this
one? Yeah.
And I just...
Wow.
Wow. I'm fucking... good, eh?
That's the song.
Yes, I'm good.
Like, I can see myself as a kid running around in those gravel roads, you know?
It's like the opening of a movie, man.
Exactly.
You
know? I love this song.
So how does it feel to hear that again?
Man. Now, that takes me back.
Yeah.
That really takes me back. Like these guys, Brenda Fassi, Chico Twilight.
Yeah.
All that music. Oh, man. I even remember the fashion back then.
What was it?
It was like, not really bell bottoms, but 80s ones. Like,
was it like the time?
Stone Rush. Yeah, brown suits.
Yeah.
And striped ties. You know, you're going to work.
I remember.
With those dull colors like cream and brown and gray all together.
Hello, Gavin.
Hello, Gasper.
Gavin just joined us. Gavin Prince, everyone.
Yay!
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Gavin used to have an afro during those times.
I'm not that old. I'm a proud 41-year-old man.
Really? Only 41?
I'm so glad I only took one tablet last night. Otherwise, you would have found me slurring again.
Oh, yeah, he's the one on drugs.
Oh, okay.
Proper.
So, Silver Star Casino has got a show called Married, but Not to Each Other, Gavin. Yeah. And it stars Ndumiso Lindy and Tumi Morake.
Love Tumi.
And it's tonight.
Oh, wow.
This is Ndumiso Lindy, by the way.
Yes.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you too, sir.
Formally.
You can't say love to me in front of him. Jesus.
You were supposed to say love them both.
Yeah.
And love them both.
Where do you plan to go with this show still? Because you've been touring for quite a while.
Yeah, the next one is Durban, 21st of July.
Okay.
And then
I don't know if Durban actually has South African internet. I don't know. But if Durbanites, if you're listening, that's the next stop. And where will that be?
That will be Sibaya Casino.
Oh, yeah. I know that place.
Sibaya Casino. Yeah. We're doing it there. And then we're doing Nelspruit and... how can I forget now? Nelspruit and...
Is that your first Nelspruit?
That's my
second
first
one.
Mbombela.
Oh. Okay, Mbombela. Yeah, so we're doing Secunda on the 3rd of
God.
August.
I'll pray for you.
And the next day on the 4th, we're doing Nelspruit.
Okay.
Mbombela, yeah.
Okay, isn't that into...
M20.
M20.
Yeah.
I always say, because you try and win an Afrikaans, M20, a Kaniveni. Kaniveni. That fucking casino, you lose all your money. And do you think you're going to record it for DVD?
Soon.
Good.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll see it on Mnet or something.
Probably. Comedy Central, maybe.
Okay.
Whoever buys it.
Yeah. Yeah, Comedy Central, maybe. You didn't do the roast battle, hey?
No. I'm not a roaster, man.
You're the rooster, not the roaster.
Yeah, I'm the roaster. It's not my style.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're too gentleman.
Yeah.
I go filthy. I go vulgar. I went so bad that they stopped me from saying things. They
really?
Said,
real.
I said, I want to say this. They no! You can't say that!
Wow.
I said,
what?
But it's anything is on the table.
Yeah.
No! But I didn't go far. I tried my best. You're too gentlemanly for that. I feel bad to say swear words in front of him in any case.
Yeah, what come
is,
on.
Question. Yeah. What is too far? Like you mean
say not
like say,
I can't
like
tell you because that was too far.
Okay. Like what? Like talking about like let's say vagina, but
it was close to
deep?
That.
Close
to
that.
It was close to vagina, yes.
Is it?
But let's leave it at that. I'll write about that in a book one day.
Oh, is it? God,
I'll tell the story. Oh, what the fuck? I couldn't say. I'm just looking for my music.
Bilikivia.
No, my music because I've got tonight Ndumiso now. A royal music.
Married but not to each other.
No, yes. But he's already a fart. He's going to become Sir Rooster now.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it's the first time that I see him on the show.
No. He's been here a couple of times, Gavin. Oh, wake fucking up.
I'm still on the micro cam. Sorry.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hereby, I ask Ndumiso Lindy to kneel. I'm taking out the dagger, placing it on your left shoulder and on your right shoulder. You can now arise, Sir Rooster.
Yeah! Sir Rooster up in here.
Have you got any comments?
I need a praise singer everywhere I go.
Sir Rooster of Eastern Cape.
Woohoo!
Sir Rooster of King William Sound.
We love you.
Sir Rooster who conquered the road to Cape Town.
Sarusta, ladies and gentlemen, Sarusta.
Sarusta.
Sarusta without dragons.
May God bless you and all who sail within you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarusta, may I introduce you to our second guest?
Yes, sir.
Here he is.
How you doing,
Sarusta?
Good news. Good.
Peach from Pleton. I always say Pia because Peach, I know Pia, and I'm sorry about it. I'm old, I'm fucked, and I say these things. But I know Pia, and I'll tell you why I know Pia, because Pia and Peach. Pia is a pear, and Peach is a peach. Peach, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Ach, man. No, I haven't known about you for a while because I'm just not, I'm ill-informed. And then a good friend of mine, who goes to all your shows, his name is Raymond Truman. I don't know if you know or remember him, but he told me about, and he actually schooled me in Peter End and all that, and I said, my God, where was I? Why didn't, I'm thoroughly amazed, and such a huge fan, Peach.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice to hear, because I'm also a bit of a fan, so there's mutual fandom going
it's
on.
It's cold because we're fanning each other. It's one big fan fest.
Yeah,
it did.
Well, do you want to tell us, Hannes, a bit about you said the solo polo or what?
Well, Peaches, yeah, we could have asked him, but I just mentioned earlier some of your other projects, like apart from Peter Einder is yesterday's pupil, of course, and now Van Pletsen, and prior to that you were in a band called Shoe. So, yeah, a long and storied musical career, this young man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ooh.
But you have now, you've been in many bands, we're going to talk about them, but now you've got a band called Peach van fucking Pletsen. If I say Peach one more time.
Oh my goodness.
Peach.
Nice, we'll switch off your mic.
It's nice to see why people messing up their own names. It's awesome.
I'm just saying from Pletsen. Yeah. And that is great, because that I don't know whether you were joking with this or not, but it's actually... going on with my mic. It's turning. It's actually a very, very nice... once you get hold of it in your brain, it's quite nice.
I remember...
But it sounds like you're joking. Oh, what's happening here?
What are we referring to? What's here?
Boda. Boda, for instance.
Boda. Oh. Look, I think there's definitely an element of humor and satire.
Mm.
But there's this weird sort of stigma that the minute that something is a bit funny, or then it has to be cheap or a joke, or it doesn't need or require a lot of work. So yes, it is funny, it is humorous, it is satirical, but it's also cock serious.
What is very impressive is that Peach produces this. He knows what the hell he's doing. That's wow.
That was awesome. That was vibing to that.
That's a cock-like vibe.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. We got another song here called Cock-like a Vibe.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I said it.
you should start working with...
Oopsie daisy.
You should start working with... Nigerian artists also.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that.
This is cool.
Yeah. It's just about how do I convince them to work with me.
This is so awesome. They would love this. I can actually hear Davido actually running to this.
Well, Alan, you remember? Now, I have walked a long road with your father.
Yes.
I know him since I was yee high.
Huh?
And yeah, his father's Pierre van Pletsen.
What?
That's why I'm confusing it all the time.
Oh my goodness!
Yes. Did you know
But can I just say, like, from your appearance, you look nothing like the work. And I've seen the one video, and I was sitting in a very public place, and I found myself giggling. I was sitting in a business sort of lounge area this morning. And I, like, you look nothing like I would have expected, like a weird sort of, I mean, look at, not to compare, but like the Antwoord or whatever, they look weird and their music is like, you know, but you look normal and yet you are so artistic.
That's the problem, is I am weird, but I try to look normal. I try and blend in. That's the problem. So, I mean, obviously with shows and stuff, we go a lot louder and music videos, but I still work in a studio and I actually produce a lot of music for other artists. Mm. And I think it might be a bit strange for them if they arrive at the studio and I'm like, I'm going to make this track sound. That's one of the reasons this Van Pletsen thing came to be, is I needed to have a bit of fun with music again, because it's very serious dealing with labels and agencies and things and, you know, doing all this stuff in the audio kind of field. And then we needed to do something. It was just like feel good, bit tongue-in-cheek and fun. Last night, for example, I was playing in Braamfontein, and then I had my gold jacket and my gold glasses and stuff. And this morning I had a haircut as well, so this is also very, it's adding to the normal appearance. But I looked a bit like a mad scientist before.
So when you do your stage act, do you go common? Do you go gold?
No, not common or Zef. That's the
Antwoord.
That's the Antwoord in Jack Sparrow. We just go kak lekker, which is completely different. different.
Kak lekker.
Yeah. Okay. The brief when we were working on the album and making it, like, we didn't think of any genre or any vibe we want to copy. We would just do anything. Like, I mean, this is also one of them.
Stunning.
And the only thing we would ask ourselves when we're listening back is like, look, it is lekker. But is it cock-lacker? Is this a cock-lacker vibe? And if it is, then we're like, cool, going on the album.
Cool.
Yeah. Check, this is Early B coming in here.
It's so cool. Everybody in here is like just bopping.
But that's exactly what I meant, Peach, when I said, is this funny or not? Is this meant to be funny? But the rhythm gets you.
No, it does. It does.
And then it's nice. You like it.
My favorite lyric in that song by Early B is "Ek is min gespin soos nat was goed," which I think is so great. But we did our first ever show last year in October at Opikopi.
I remember seeing you just before that. You appeared quite nervous, actually.
Yeah, because here's this new vibe, and everyone's known me for something completely different before this. Way more serious, a lot darker, and suddenly there's this. So people had this curiosity about, you know, let's go check it out and have a bit of a laugh. It's obviously going to be one big joke. But my plan was to lure them with the sort of that curiosity, but then deliver like a world-class live show with proper beats, proper production value.
And is it now almost jumping beyond your expectation, because you guys are very busy and kind of in demand? I mean, as a live act as well, you know, is it jumping further than you almost thought it would, or is it exactly how you had intended it to go?
In a sense, it's how I hoped it would go, but I am very, like, amazed and pleased that people are now warming up to it. It's the weirdest thing, also going out for an hour set and people know one song at that time last year, and now you have to play all this brand new content and the audience is there like, okay, now it's
impress us.
And then they, you know, they from the second song or so they came on board. And the same last night, which we played to a crowd that's definitely not our crowd. It was in the Puma store in Braamfontein.
Okay.
And I got some videos from last night, but it's was a cock lacker vibe.
I like that, because it almost, even when Anna said it early on, it looks like when you say something is cock, it like it sounds like you're going one direction. Yeah. Wanneer hy lekker kom en is, okay, that's what you mean.
It's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
I also, it's a new word for the new generations. They say kak for good.
Yeah.
Which is lekker. Which is lekker. Like people will tell me, I act like kak bekend.
Yeah.
Or the show was kak goed. Love it. I quickly want to rewind and tell you that I've seen you, Peach, for the first time in my life at the John Vlismas show. I think you were there because Bitter Einde was there.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't know a thing. I don't know who the fuck is Bitter Einde. Mm. Because some generational gap happened. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know about these people.
Yes, me neither. It's like... And I said, no, I'm 40 years old. I'm supposed to know these things.
And John Vlismas, of all fucking people, got them to open for him. What? And it was like mind-blowing.
Was it for
Good Racist?
Yes.
Good Racist.
No, it's a theatre run.
Was it the band?
It was the three guys. It's them.
Three guys. There was, Good Racist and Machtig was the other one. Yeah, I remember that. With the window frame above you guys or what?
Could be. I had no idea what was going on above us, but it was, I don't know.
I think so. No. Wait, were you guys dressed in black?
Possibly.
Yes, they were.
And it was for the teatro run, the first run of the
amazing production. I felt, when the bass goes into your poponoliki.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what a poponoliki
is. I'm here. Yeah, it's Bitter Einde. Just listen to this a bit. Quad Nos is the song's name.
Wow.
It is
very nice.
Very nice.
Released in 2013.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
nice. Research gedoen, Vicky Gavin.
Okay, Vicky Bayer, research gedoen. What is the name of the song? It's a rap song, but in that sketch that you do, this is the one I saw. This is the one that had me in stitches this morning with Skulk.
Zabervloed.
That's Zabervloeden. And that is the Van Pletzen band.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got Zabervloeden here. I'm going to play it now.
It gets confusing honestly, a little bit, but.
But look, Bitter Einde is still in existence.
Yes.
You're still working.
Yeah.
You're still going to get a new LP out.
We're working on our fifth album. Mm. And this is also our 10th year as a band. And. The Van Pletzen thing just sort of started on the side, and it's a totally different vibe. Bitter Einde is way more rap, and it also is a lot more lyrically, like, good than the Van Pletzen.
There's deep stuff.
Right? Yeah, Bitter Einde is way more conscious.
Yeah, it's darker, yeah.
Yeah, much darker, where Van Pletzen is just, like, all about spreading kaklaka vibes, because instead of... You know, when you look at everything that's wrong in the world, instead of commenting on it or joining that conversation, Van Pletzen is the escape to that, where that doesn't even exist. It's just a kaklaka vibe where you can escape to for
that Zabervloeden video. I mean, I think Sulk Poseidon has won the internet for the rest of the year.
The funniest thing I've ever seen. I didn't see it.
Oh, you could check that video.
You would dig it.
Oh, it is funny. Especially with that actor, Frank Opperman.
When he comes in. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions now. Now, I just wanted to say that I just realized that you then have created a new niche then.
Yeah.
Usually, I'm ashamed of Afrikaans music.
me too, a little bit. A little bit.
I am. I think it's a lot of shit. But this is playing to that audience, but it's fucking wonderful.
That was the sort of the idea, was to kind of... no way.
Where the fuck is this?
This is a... You're going deep into the archives here.
Wait, we like deep.
It's the remix of the Desmond and the Tutu song by Bitter Einde. Let's have a quick listen. Where am I? First team hockey, she got the legs I like. It swims in the winter. I love Victoria Girl.
So that's something you also enjoy.
Okay. Yeah. Eh? Yeah, this is all new to me, right?
Hey?
It's an education.
Oh, wow.
It's an education today.
I know Rick with the, oh, I love a Zulu girl. I didn't know this. Oh, love Pretoria girl. Catchy, man. Yeah, that is catchy. Though.
Very. Where were we?
Exactly. We're in Rivonia.
Well, there's five of us. We should remember where we were.
Oh, we were talking about the Zauberflute. And the expression. What is Zauber?
Okay, so Zauber. Zauberfluten is a made up word for. Like Zoll.
Okay.
And a Zaub is like a joint.
Okay.
So when you say swai made I zab, it pretty much means
give me that.
Yeah, pass me the joint. And the reason we wanted to, like, one thing that I was always fascinated by was when Kanye West made up the word cray, and it became, now it's like a word, like she cray.
She cray.
So we were like, we wanted to do something with weed. And Zauberflute and just
it just works. I always had this association with Zauber growing up as as a sex act.
Yes.
Or your penis is a Zauber.
Because
it's a Zauber word.
Wow.
But so this is really great because now it's like
my word that I grew up Zauber with whistle. That was Knop.
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 Really?
Of a home.
Knop.
Ja.
Wat knop is maar net die ding tussen die bene is die knop.
Dit is ja.
Nou jy my knop is like the actual deed
Fucking,
as well.
No, yeah, because proper. Zauber, Alicia, one of our very very common previous gang members here in the show, who's luckily not working here anymore. She used to refer to fucking as Zauber.
Sure.
What? Oh.
Alicia. So I thought it's the fuck flute. I thought Zauber. No, but it's not. It's a joint. But it works. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it works. Either way you look at it, it's...
either way you get fucked. Though.
Yeah, exactly.
But Peach, this whole fucking CD is full of joints.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit all over. And I think earlier you were saying how the Afrikaans mainstream, you know, is generally like not the greatest of sound in music. And what we wanted to do with this Van Pletsen thing is to sort of land somewhere in between mainstream and super alternative.
Yeah.
And take the sound of what we like and what we're listening to, and it just happens to be in Afrikaans.
You're
I always
doing
say
something
that Van Pletsen is Afrikaans music for
everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Nice. It's not like you know, it's Afrikaans. I mean, last night, no one in the crowd was Afrikaans.
Good.
But they, and it was daunting going out because it was like, I was right in the crowd. If they really hated it, they could have, you know, attacked me if they wanted to. And then the beat starts and I could see, because they like the beat. And then I start going off in Afrikaans and I saw the... What? And then by the third song, like, we were all... best friends.
But let's refer back to Ndumiso's reaction earlier. You said you would go up in Africa with this.
I would love to do that. Yeah. Like a proper merging of the Nigerian artists and Afrikaans. I haven't heard anything like that.
That hasn't been done yet.
Yeah. Too awesome. Even the reaction you got last night, it wasn't a bad reaction. It's just that you're not used to it. When black people are feeling something, they do that face.
Yeah, let me. I know this is not good for what do you call it, for radio.
What? A video.
When you show someone a short clip, but I'll try to put the sound close to the...
And let's describe it.
So this is just 15 seconds from last night.
Yeah.
And the beat's amazing, so...
Okay.
That's the crowd doing that.
Oh, come on. They're feeling it. Look at that. Look at that guy. He's even dressed just like me.
Fantastic.
He's feeling it.
That's clearly after the third song.
Yeah.
They're loving it.
Yeah. After.
That's amazing, man. You must be so proud.
I am proud. And I knew when I first heard that beat that it's amazing. And that's why we just like said, sometimes you just got to tell it how it is. And the song is called
Deep Beat's amazing. Yeah. And the vocals of mainly just goes, shit, Deep Beat's amazing.
And when you, the first time, as exactly, you pull a face, and then at the end of the song, it's in you.
Yeah. That's the exact reaction I wanted.
Yeah, you want to get that face, and it can stay there, but as long as it's...
Yeah. And I'm prepared for the face, so I don't walk out, and then I see that face on everyone.
And then
I could either shit myself, or just
you
power
must
through.
Faster, Baba. Just keep on going.
And last night, the face was there, and it was strong. I cannot...
The face is strong.
No. Hannes, you've got to go, because you've got an appointment, but I'm going to ask you, can you quickly, in a minute, just sum up what happened to Peach from beginning to end? Thank you, and your time starts now.
What happened to Peach when? Last night?
When he got born.
He was born into this world. Mm-hmm. The fruit of the loins of incredibly talented people. Mm-hmm. He had journeyed through the streets of Tshwane and grown up in an artistic environment which blossomed into music and rhythm and percussion and has now fruitioned to greatness itself. As a continuous effort of the universe to unite us all in the glory of light and power and beautifulness.
Hallelujah.
Kak lekkerness.
Kak lekkerness.
And with that, I conclude this sermon.
Well
thank
done.
You, sure. Thank you, Hannes.
I wish I could do that.
And all the fruit puns as well. You know, I picked up on that.
It's kind of tropical, you know.
Yeah. And all the peachy.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's have a listen to a cock like a vibe.
Someone
say goodbye to Hannes. I just want to say good. I don't know if it's morning to Myrto in Chiang Mai, who's listening. I don't know where you are in the time zone, but in any case, hello Myrto, thank you for the message. Hope you enjoy this. You can get it on iTunes. Called Van Pletsen. And then someone get by the end as well. So, where are you going to perform now? Oh, God.
There we go.
Yep.
We're doing Opikopi again this year, which is kind of like full circle for us because it was our first show. And this year, people are actually going to know the music. So, can you imagine how cock-lacker that is going to be? The funny thing about that song, someone once asked on YouTube, can you please post the lyrics? And the lyrics are literally the same line over and over and over again.
Oh, you see?
Yeah, and I was like, when I first played it to my dad as well, like a minute or two into it, he went, veranderd it. Like, are you going to end it? And I'm like, no, that is the question. Like, and...
Gaan jy met my
dance? So
met
my dance, there's a kak like a vibe.
This is Afrikaans quiet to it.
Yeah, sometimes you just need one line, and if it works,
it's true.
You just repeat it until people like it.
I love how you play it to your dad for the action. Yeah. I mean, the work that your dad has done, we were talking about it during our break now. Well, not our break, but while you were playing the song, is that his work, in comparison to his father's work, is very different. Oh, I mean, his father, not conservative, but his father's a very sort of rigid sort of, you know, industry.
He's a well-known face on soaps, Cinderlan.
Yeah.
You know, although he's done lots of other stuff.
Yeah, of course. But he's like...
I didn't even know that Peach existed. I didn't know that Pierre had a son.
Me neither.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither. The last time I heard of Van Pletsen was I think he had a very dramatic exit to a soap, eh?
Which is the only way you could ever really exit a soap.
Is what? Dramatic?
Dramatically.
Yeah, especially when you're in it for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. For every year that you're there, it adds an hour of drama or a day. Yeah. Yeah.
But you were raised where?
Good question.
In a very dramatic household. In Pretoria, mainly. And then moved to Joburg a bit more than 2 years ago.
Oh, that's recent.
It is recent. And everyone in Pretoria was like, what are you doing?
Put the fork on your nose.
Joburg. You can't. And I love it. I like the pace. I love the city. You can go out every night and experience something new. And
it's different.
Yeah, so, and that's sort of like in that move where Van Pletsen was also sort of born.
Good.
Yeah, so it's exciting. It's exciting for me, and it's challenging because after 10 or 15 years of doing music, and I do a lot of music for other artists in the studio. My studio is just 15 minutes from here, and it was just kind of fun to say, okay, let's, you know, do something
mull.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Who's Nick Nax?
Nick Nax is he's the other member in Van Pletsen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're two-piece. And Nick Nax actually started working at the studio three years or so ago. And then we started messing around and we'd go for beers and stuff after work. And then said, imagine this vibe. This, like, where you make an album that's just like from start to finish, cocklacker. And the only thing that's challenging about it is you have to challenge yourself whether you are open enough to the lackerness in order to help spread the cocklacker vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, if you like overthink it, you're doing it to yourself.
Mm.
That's really when people are like, but tell me now, explain. So is it... So, okay. So this, and I'm like, no.
But how do you get to that formula, though, to make it cock like
you normal? Just have to listen to it, and you're like...
He's a producer, I think. Geez. He produces it so well.
Mm. Yeah, I think there is a fine line with the production process where you... I think often it's that thing where when something is funny or tongue-in-cheek, people expect the production value to be really bad. So it's obvious it's a joke.
Mm.
But the minute it's sort of... like good production, then they're like, so wait a minute, is this one big joke? And everyone asks that.
Is this a joke?
And the thing is, just because it's funny doesn't mean it's a joke.
Yeah,
it's like saying when you watch a comedy film and you're laughing, is this film a joke?
Yeah.
The film isn't a joke because there's still a cinematographer and a script and actors, sure. But it is funny. So sometimes things can be funny without being a joke.
True.
Very deep.
Awesome. Let me go deeper and ask you that when you were young, did you, and your friends Yaku and Louis, and you started Bitter Einde, you were all in English schools.
Yeah.
Weren't you happy with Afrikaans, yes?
No, so that was more Yaku's sort of struggle. He was in boys high.
Okay.
Full on English school, English first language. I was actually in Pro Arte.
Oh!
Yes.
That's stunning.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yes, and I loved it. I loved the school, and it was English and Afrikaans, but it was more just, you know, the general thing was a bit more English. But Yaku had this thing where it was very uncool to be Afrikaans, and if they know you're Afrikaans, then you're like the Dutchman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was rapping all his life in English, and he was very good at it. And then in 2008, him and I did a tour together to Poland, of all places. And on that tour, he said, I think I want to start rapping in Afrikaans. And I want you to produce it. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Cool, yeah, you know. But I didn't realize how big of a deal it was for him. And I was like, keen, but only after the... like third or fourth session, he left a notepad with some words there, and I flicked through it, and I was like, oh my word, this is like quite insane. If I feel this way just reading it, imagine how you would feel with the power of like a huge beat behind it. And then I realized that it's not about wanting to or not wanting to do it. It's like, I have to do this. And that's why that band is called... one of the reasons why it's called Bitter Einder, it's how in the end, Afrikaans, his mother tongue, got the upper hand over a language that he's been speaking for his entire life. He was like very ashamed of being Afrikaans, and the whole first album is sort of him confronting that. So it's a bit more, a bit deeper than Cut Like a Vibe, which is why I didn't know that that part belongs to Bitter Einde.
Absolutely.
And you know, yeah, and Yaku is he's so good at doing that. He's honestly like one of the best, you know, lyricists and writers that I've ever heard, not just locally or Afrikaans, ever. And I think that's why it's I've been able to be in a band with well, all of us with one another for 10 years, which is a difficult thing to do, believe me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like being married to two people. Two eccentric people. And three.
Being married.
Yeah. But not to each other.
But not to each other. Tonight at Silverstar.
I want to go watch it.
Okay, and now you got this extra thing that, an extra career with Van Cleten where you can just relax and have absolute fun.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, for since 2003, I've been a full-time musician, full-time working in the music industry in one capacity or another, either as a drummer. I actually also drum for Joseph Clark and the Queen Show, and I think he was a guest yesterday. So I still do drums, like that's the musician.
So you drum in the Queen Show?
Yeah.
My fork.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, so it's a bit of a juggling act, but it's all within music.
Yeah.
And then also then the producing and studio side, which is like Craig Lucas, the guy who won The Voice.
Yes.
Did a lot of tracks on his album for him.
Yeah.
Including his new single. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm just always busy with music, and it gets tricky after many years to, for it not to be a just a job and a way of making money. And Van Pletsen was sort of like the escape within the same realm.
Yeah.
Like you escape the thing by doing the thing.
Yep, gotcha. Yeah. Because that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were sarcastic. Sorry.
No, I got
it. We actually toyed with calling it Fun Pletsen, F-U-N Pletsen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe one of your next CDs can be called Fun Pletsen.
I'm convinced that I was in a music video with your sister.
What?
Please, to tell me more.
Tell us more.
I'm trying to look for it now.
A music video of who?
So, your sister Zetske.
Yes.
So Zetske and I might have been in a music video together, but not Zetske's music video, but she was an actress and I was an actor.
Tor?
Have you ever?
Yeah, but it's very vague what you're doing.
I'm trying to look for it. Please. To see if I am talking the truth.
Okay, look for it. Don't find it yet because I want to go off to another subject and then we'll get back to you. Sometimes on the show we play music that we find that is horrible.
Okay.
Because we like that. I like horribleness as well.
Yeah, okay.
Because you could just look at it and go, my God. And I found a fantastic one again. And toevallig, it is Afrikaans as well, so we can be ashamed of the fucking culture as well. Mm. Let me just play.
And don't forget to pull your face, eh? The black face.
Wait, where's the. It's this one. Yeah.
The Casper Radio Show. Out there.
We call it Out There. This is out there. And so
I'm scared of what I'm gonna hear now.
This is called the Noodlane.
What's going on?
I feel so alien and friend het ek geen.
Is this love Adam giving me my word?
It is really, it's really.
Do you understand this?
Please don't.
Praat dan met die weer.
Hoor ek dit dan?
Ek lag ook nie meer.
Wow.
It sounds like
those,
it sounds like those songs they used to play while Leon Schuster is
dragging
people.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Those old movies. Old
staccato way montages. Yeah. They can play this where he walks in the, on the beach. Quick.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like that. But it's interesting that Simba once said that this kind of music reminds him of Hawaii.
Hawaii?
You know, like the country. Maybe it's a guitar.
No.
Yeah, you're redder than your year.
It's a gospel song.
It's a you Casper the Priest is playing a gospel song.
Oh, really?
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god. This is one for the history books.
Ek vra verskoning vir almal. Ek het nie geweet dat dit 'n fucking gospel ding nie.
Wat 'n jaar het daai uitgekom?
Here, ek weet nie, maar so,
it sounds like 1924.
Yeah, that's
so in the end, she's saying go to Jesus.
But it's weird, hey? Only the Jesus part gets to the end. At the beginning, it's all
it's cuck.
Normally things.
And then it's a Jesus song. It just shows you.
I'm shocked.
I'm very...
Clearly
I'm
you actually, didn't play the song to the end.
I'm very nervous.
To
no,
me.
Someone sent it to me and I thought, what is this shit? It's very funny. It I'm going to play it as an out there thing. But then at the end, maybe the lady wanted to convert me. I'm very upset now. Let's play something completely different, please. Sounds better.
Bit of Zauberflute.
Zauberfluten! Beach on Fletton! Woo! Oh, isn't this nice, people?
Oh. Mm. I'm doing the face. Doing the face. I'm
doing the face. Face. Mm. Mm. So this is a video. This is the video that Gavin saw with Scott and Frank.
Frank,
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
my first was to Brian, and then said it.
Yes, yes.
I said, nee. Dan lyk hy vis so gaar en dan sê this fish moet nog 'n bietjie lê. Hy moet nog 'n bietjie. Kom ons gaan en dan gaan Zol julle dag. Oh my goodness, it's super funny.
Listen Gavin, did you find that video that you were in with Zetska?
So I was not in the video with your sister. I was in the video with your brother-in-law met Altus.
Oh crazy.
Oh.
Hy was in die video. Ek het my foto so klein 'n bietjie verkeer.
Altus Tiard.
Yes.
How's that his brother? Is he married to Zetska?
Yes.
Oh my god, how do I was learn things?
Hulle is nog getroud, né?
Ja.
Ja, ja, ja.
Hulle is nog getroud.
Ja, ja, ja.
Wat 'n vroeë vraag. Yes, that's a good question.
You know, I haven't been or followed Afrikaans news of the actors in a very long time. I know about your father and the exit, dramatic exit of the soap because of the fact that it wasn't just in Afrikaans news, but it was
spilled
in English
all over.
News as well. Yeah, it was everywhere. I mean, Seven the Line is all over. But I mean, this was a music video that we did for a singer called Monique.
Yeah.
Altus was daar aan. Hy was die lead actor. Hy het gecheat op haar. Gav, I was drinking champagne, but JC Little.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I've worked with Sandra Vaughan a lot. She did sketches for me at in the Casper Rasper show, and she did Hawk and Steak with me. So
I
we
remember.
Acted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She's super.
So
funny.
The whole family is now together again.
We should have had them in.
Yeah. I'm fucking plitzen reunion.
Pierre, like imagine if we. I mean, you're amazing. But if we interview Pierre van Plitzen,
I don't know.
Had him?
No, never. Never, never. I once...
Give yourself
no, you know what happened once? In 1986...
Yeah?
He asked me to write something for Packoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I left for Holland.
Yes.
And I just didn't want to know about South Africa. And so he phoned me from Bloemfontein.
Yes.
Pierre said, where's the play? And I said, it's not coming. I don't want to do it. I still feel guilty after all these years. I wonder if he ever forgave me for that.
Ek sal bietjie
vraag hom toch.
I'll do a bit of fishing.
Ek was jong. Ek het, yeah. Wat het ek gefokken weet? Ek wil net oor see weet.
Ja, of course. In Holland, I mean.
In Holland, man. For fuck's
sake. Zaap Central.
It is Zaap.
It is.
That is where you went on your honeymoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually go there quite a lot.
You perform there?
Yeah, Bitter Einder has done 3 or 4 tours there.
I read, yeah.
And the Queen Experience as well. And we're going back in November. And I'm hoping to try and get Van Pletsen in there because I think the Dutch people...
They will love it, man.
They're prone to a bit of cock like a vibes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So... I'm holding thumbs that...
They've got a thing called Carnaval every year, where the Van Pletsen kind of vibe will
work go down
perfectly. It'll become like the summer number one, you know. It's that kind of stuff.
I hope someone's out there listening. Sorry, please. Internet 8 in Holland.
Als je luistert, alsjeblieft, Van Pletsen.
Alsjeblieft.
Die moet nummer 1 worden in de carnaval tijd. Dus... kom eraan, kom erop, hi-ha Van Pletsen.
That's very good.
Thank you.
There's a radio show. You know who does a radio show? The guy that designed our logo.
Yeah.
Casper Radio Show logo. Yeah. He's got a show, a radio show that he sends via what to Holland. He does a radio show in Van Pretoria nogals.
Yay! There's a funny story. We did this little press tour with the last or second last Bitter Einder album in Holland. And it was quite a grueling schedule. We just told the guy we're here for 9 days, pack it in. And one of the interviews was scheduled for like 5:45 in the morning. So we thought, it's a super early breakfast radio show. And we made this mission. We got on the trains and stayed awake, and everyone was drinking, and you know, because we had to take the 1 o'clock train and then for 4 hours just be. Then as it turned out, it wasn't an early morning show. It was a super late night show, and all the DJs were like super wired, drinking beer, passing shots around, going,
goodness.
So what are you all about? Tell us about Bitter Einder. Let's turn that mic up. I like this. This is very nice. This is very nice. And we're like sitting there. We arrived. We thought they're going to give us coffee, and they're like, do you guys want beer?
Jittery.
Do you want, what can we get you guys?
And where was this?
Cocaine?
Like, what town?
This was in, what was it? It was it was like 45 minutes outside by train outside of Amsterdam. Something Flauten.
I can't think now.
Yeah.
Zaberfluten.
Yeah.
Amstelveen, maybe? That's quite close.
Yeah. I think it was Amstelveen. I'm tempted to look now, but it was one of those.
It's not important.
Yeah.
It's just the Dutch. You can break it there. I'm telling you, Carnaval nummer. I just want to say quickly that Avenue Q is still on at the Monty. Please go see that. It's brilliant. I'm going to see it again tomorrow, and I'm going to see Alfred Adrian in his one-man show tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's in Afrikaans only, and I'm going to see that one because I want to see what he does in Afrikaans.
I saw him raving about it. He's like he's quite pleased with himself. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's doing
Remember
well.
He was nervous here in the studio.
He was nervous. He hasn't done... He didn't do it yet. But now he started and he looks very full of confidence about his show. He's happy. Then, remember next week, the 12th, there's a Muse movie out about the drones tour. And it's only one night and it's in various cinemas around the world and South Africa and one of the cinemas... Where you can, I will be there in Rosebank to watch, British, to watch the Muse show, Drones. And I'm sure Sir Rooster will also be there in his British presence.
I'll try.
Please, sir.
Just go and check out some drones.
Gavin, I read about, sorry, we got something, sometimes we got like very strange news. And there was this one thing you told me about a bisexual child, or what? It's actually for our gay news section, but which we don't have today, but tell me about it.
It's very sad. So basically, it is a 10-year-old boy died in Los Angeles.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Like, have you actually ever used to it? But then, like, through the investigation, so very shortly, so basically, it's
Are you going to show me your penis very shortly?
Anyway, back to the person that's now in heaven.
Yeah.
So shame. He was actually tortured by his mother.
Why?
And the mother's boyfriend. So over like a period of like 2 days or something. But tortured meaning like thrown against the floor they just like forced things like down his throat. He wasn't allowed to use the toilet. And they tortured him like in front of his other 8 siblings. Eh? This is big news now in America, and all because the suspicion is, but this is now through interviews with the other children, that he told his parents that he's bisexual. But then through further investigations, the police are now saying that this child was, even at an earlier age, subjected to pornography and sexual abuse. Hulle was al geïnvestigate die boyfriend en die ma for abuse, but and do you know what was so there was allegations, this is now for Lady out of Soar, of sexual abuse in die huis. But what the authorities did was the authorities het gesê, ach, jylle moet net counseling kry. Like, have you actually ever?
What, who, the parents?
The parents moet net counseling kry. Maar daar sexual abuse daar in die huis. Now, this little boy, shame, his name is Anthony, and he's now gone. He was tortured, like literally tortured to death.
What's going to happen to those two people now? Are they going to go to jail?
So, the suspicion is, like, in all probability, because that like as if the father, like the boyfriend, was more like the instigator. Because the mother looks like a wimp. On TV, right? So he might get 22 years. That's a maximum he can get in that county. For what they did.
Yeah.
Like I would have pushed for life, but it is a very sad story that is happening in America at the moment.
That's a very Noodline, like that song.
Yeah,
like
very Noodline story. Yeah, proper. God. Like that. That this bias sad.
And now for something completely different. I just want to tell you that it's very cold. And the other night, I was sitting. It's advice. I was sitting and I didn't have firelighters. And I thought, how in the name of that which is good will I start my fire? And so I rummaged through. I tried mercurochrome, didn't work. I tried Dettol, didn't work. I tried sunflower oil, didn't work. How do you start a fire? Except for
that is the traditional way that I know.
So I went outside and rummaged through my paint, because I'm an artist as well. You know, I paint.
Mm. Yes, yes.
So I'm a painter. I paint walls. And I happened to happen upon wood varnish.
Okay.
Here is some advice for all you people being cold. Take your wood, dip it into the wood varnish. Make sure it's not going to drip all over your floor. Just put it in the kachel. In the furnace, whatever. Stand back and light it. It's going to go.
No way. Yes.
And you will have a fucking bonfire.
What? I never knew that.
Within a second, I was so proud of that fact.
I'm proud of your innovation, Casper.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Dip it in the wood varnish.
Did it smell?
It did smell a bit. Yeah. I saw spots.
I was a bit what's your word?
Zarbit.
Zarbit.
I was a bit zarbit, but so warm. It's like poppers for for very strange people. The show is called Married But Not to Each Other. It's tonight at Silver Star. And it was such a great honor, Sir Rooster, to have you again here, gentlemen that you are. I love you. I respect you. It's so nice to see you again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for knighting me also.
It's a... Everyone says that, and it's always a pleasure. I just want to knight everyone. I want to say to Peach, what an honor to meet you.
Likewise.
I'm so in awe of your talent. Mm. And I'm going to go to your shows. You're going to see me there.
Please do. That would be awesome. You should come on stage and have a bit of a cock like a vibe.
Yeah. Let me first just, because I'm actually shy. So let me first get into it and I'll show you a sign and say, okay
I'm ready.
Okay. I'll go do vibing.
Oh, wow.
Gavin.
And then I'll be there with my camera to video all of this.
Please, yes. Gav. Mm. Gavin, I wish you all the best.
Merci beaucoup, monsieur.
With your video career, which apparently did not take off. And I hope next time you drink something more than JC LaRue.
This was the platform that was supposed to set off my video career with Casper Radio Show.
Oh well, it didn't work. So they say have a good weekend, and what do we say?
Have a good week.
No, we say fuck they.
I don't give a fuck about they. Fuck about they.
This is CliffCentral.com.